The Side Piece, a novel by J.M. Vella, narrated by Dr. Joe Vio. Chapter 23. Chase and Marianne eventually left the hospital at 9 p.m. after convincing JC that hospital rules would not allow her to spend the night in her brother's hospital bed. Their departure did not seem to bother Jack much. He was tired from the anti-seizure meds and his sister's well-intentioned but suffocating presence. The remaining members of the Howard family drove home, leaving Jack asleep in his hospital room. Chase carried JC up to her room. She'd also fallen asleep in the car despite her best efforts to stay awake. He shut the door carefully so as not to wake her and walked down the hall between bedrooms. He paused momentarily before entering the master bedroom to check his cell phone. There were no new messages. He breathed a sigh of relief, hoping that Shonda had come to her senses. Chase quietly opened the bedroom door, and despite the lights that had been left on for him, Marianne was sound asleep in their bed. Poor thing. She was exhausted from her long vigil over Jack. He turned off the lights and silently slipped between the covers and stretched out on his side of the bed, being careful not to disturb his wife's sleep. He watched her chest slowly rise and fall under the sheet and smiled at the pout her lips formed as she slept. He was still so attracted to her. It was hard to lay still on his back. He was in the habit of spooning her until they both fell asleep, or, if she wasn't too tired, until she would let him roll over her and give in to his desire. But not tonight. Marianne needed her rest, and Chase needed time to think about his predicament. He thought about the frantic text messages and threatening phone exchange with Shonda while he was in the hospital, just steps away from his family. Had Shonda really moved on? Or was she just biding her time? Was she plotting something, waiting for him to let his guard down so she could get to Marianne? These thoughts nagged him through the night as Marianne slept beside him with her blissful expression, oblivious of his torment. The following morning, Chase double-checked his cell phone before throwing on his robe and heading down to the kitchen to check the landline for messages. Still nothing. He wanted to believe that Shonda had come to her senses, but he knew better. Marianne was still sound asleep when he came back upstairs to get showered and dressed for work. He resolved through the night to confront Shonda in person, perhaps even threaten her, to squash any ideas she might have to destroy his family. Shonda tossed in her bed all night, imagining various devious ways to punish Chase for his betrayal, but talked herself out of each plan. She still loved him and didn't want to hurt him. If only she could eliminate the obstacles that prevented Chase from being with her, with his true love. She decided to go back to the Ramada Inn to find Valerie. Although they had only recently met, Shonda thought of her as a mentor, a woman of experience and practical know-how who could guide her. She also believed Valerie would be sympathetic to her situation. Shonda tried to kill time before the 3 p.m. check-in by vacuuming her condo and reorganizing her closet, but she was too anxious. By 11 a.m., she decided she could probably drive over to the Ramada Inn and spend some time with the early birds at the lounge. She just didn't want to be alone. As usual, the bar at the hotel lounge was already full from business types taking advantage of the early bird happy hour drink and lunch menu. Shonda noticed a familiar face partly obscured by a cream felt Stetson. It was Sean, her one night stand from the other night. He was on the make for a cute petite blonde who appeared to be just as interested in him. She watched them flirt from a distance, then blushed when Sean glanced in her direction, immediately aware she had been staring. He grinned and tipped his hat to her, then turned his attention back to the blonde. Shonda was annoyed, but then at least she could approach the bar without feeling like she had to avoid him. "Good luck, Blondie," she mumbled to herself. "He's probably going to slip out on you at the crack of dawn without so much as a thank you." "Well, look who's back." Shonda turned around, quickly recognizing the brassy alto voice, and smiled. "Hi, Val. I was hoping you would be here." "Honey, I practically live at this place. This renovation will be the death of me," she laughed huskily. "How are you? Have a seat at my table." She raised her arm and pointed to the server, who looked too young to be working at a bar. "Mandy, be a love and bring me and my friend a nice oaky Chardonnay, will you?" She sat down at her usual corner table where she could survey the whole operation and patted the chair next to her. Shonda took the offered seat, nervously crossing and uncrossing her legs while Valerie barked directions at a couple of new servers she was training. Young Mandy set two large glasses of Chardonnay in front of them. Valerie held her glass up for a toast. "Here's to independent women like the two of us. Drink up," she commanded. Shonda did as she was told, not feeling very independent at the moment. "Is something bothering you, honey? You seem distracted." Shonda shrugged. "I've got man problems." "Oh, the worst kind." Val took a long sip from her glass. "I'm listening. Spill it."
"I've tried, but I can't get over my boyfriend breaking up with me."
Hearing herself use the word boyfriend made her feel like she was back in the seventh grade. She blushed. "Chase Howard? You're still pining over that son of a bitch? You're better off, believe me. You need a real man in your life, someone who truly values you. Chase was just using you as a side piece." Shonda stared at her mentor over the rim of her glass.
"I want to fight for him. I still love him. And I know in my heart he loves me. He's too honorable a man to leave his wife and kids."
"Honorable, you say? Well, I know the guy, and I would never use that adjective to describe him. He's so selfish he wouldn't let Marianne pursue a career, locking her up in that big house to rot. She was a star at Brown. She had great potential, but she gave everything up for him." Valerie paused to observe Shonda's reaction. Shonda's eyes widened.
"I didn't know you knew Marianne."
Val nodded. "We were sorority sisters. The three of us were at Brown together. Chase Howard was the big man on campus at the time. He was full of himself then, and he still is, at least from what I can tell." Shonda lowered her eyes.
"I suppose you're right, but we were together 3 years, Valerie. I thought we had a future together. I thought..."
"That's just it. You didn't think, honey," she interrupted. "That's on you." Valerie's eyes glazed as she took another long sip of wine. "Look, I know you're hurting, but you've got to give yourself some time to get over it and let him go back to his wife and kids. It's the right thing to do."
"I can't. It's not fair. He doesn't love her."
Shonda stood up abruptly, shoving her chair into the table.
"I thought you were my friend, Valerie. You're obviously on Chase's side, on her side."
"Calm down. I don't give a rat's ass about Chase Howard, But I know Marianne, and I'm telling you she's a good person. She's a good wife and mother. She doesn't deserve to have her life destroyed. You need to move on, okay? Shonda shook her head, struggling to hold back the angry tears that were rimming her eyes.
No!
She stomped her foot like a spoiled toddler, turned her back on Valerie, and stormed through the lobby and out the door.
Hmph,
Val sniffed. I smell trouble.